Hello everyone, welcome to the Dreams Unlimited Travel Podcast. My name is John Magi.
And I'm Kevin Close. Boy, my timing is off.
It really is. And we are coming to you from our backyard in beautiful, sunny Central Florida. We are properly socially distancing and under lockdown here in the county.
Not from each other.
Really, from other people. And under lockdown here in the county of Osceola in Central Florida. So we are doing what we're doing to keep each other safe, to keep you guys safe, to keep everybody in our lives happy and healthy. So we hope you're doing the same, and we know that it's not easy. We know that it's a bit of a disruption to our lives, but we're doing okay.
I agree.
I also want to mention that before we start with our show, that a lot of folks have been asking about Tracy. Tracy is doing very well. She is in Canada at the moment. She's at her house in Canada and healthy for the most part. And she just, obviously, because of travel restrictions and everything that's going on, she can't come in and do a show with us. We can't go to the studio. So we're working with Craig on seeing if we can do maybe a Skype show with Tracy and bringing her in for a couple of shows and getting that going. But thanks to you guys for thinking about her and being concerned about her. She's doing okay. So that's it. We're going to get started. We have a whole bunch of questions for you. Excuse me.
Not for you.
Not for you.
They're your questions for us.
We have questions from you for us. Kevin has put out on Twitter that if you want to send him a question, we will answer them on a show. So we've got a bunch that we like to try to get through and hopefully give you some good answers. Some of these are travel-related. Some of these are not travel-related. So hopefully we'll get some information out to you that you can use. I'm going to get started. You ready?
I am.
All right. Be prepared.
I'm ready.
This is from Ken Forever Young. And he writes, question for the show. How do you pass the long hours on an overseas flight? Good question.
It is. I'm going to be honest with you. This doesn't bother me. I get on the plane prepared. I do have some travel tips. I do have some tricks that I use. I always have my iPad with me. And I don't use a Kindle anymore. I use an iPad because I can change the size of the font more readily. So I always have books I want to read.
He loads a whole bunch of books, a whole bunch of
I have my library with me. I always download a movie. I find that where I sit, I know this is boring, but I wear glasses for distance, and then I wear glasses for up close on the computer. In an airplane seat, that little screen falls right between where they're both effective.
Like every plane, every seat we have.
It's exactly the wrong distance. I don't have glasses for the TV monitor. So I'm either trying to do this or just ignoring it. So I don't watch the TV on the airplane or play the movies. I always have my iPhone is full of my music. So I do that. And I get on the plane prepared. I entertain myself.
There's a lot of folks who talk about this. Tracy's talked about this on a previous show, where they get on the plane and they take their laptop out and, oh, they get so much work done. They answer emails and they do all these things that they have to do. I actually look at that plane ride as a reason to disconnect, because every other minute of the day, I'm always connected. I'm always doing something. I'm always working. So I actually say to myself, guess what? This is kind of a mini vacation before the vacation starts. So I purposely don't bring my laptop out at all. I don't even bring an iPad. I can see the screen.
I can't
because I have young eyes. And I can...
boomer.
I'm happy to find some stupid movie, something I've seen 3 or 4 times.
I'm going to tell you the real truth.
What's the real truth?
You put on those headphones, those Bose headphones, the noise-canceling ones, and does this.
Well, you know, that's the first hour, and then the second hour I eat, and then the third hour I watch a movie.
Then he sleeps
and
again.
I still have 8 hours left.
I would also, depending on the time of day you're traveling, depends on, I think, how we approach it. I have some tricks I use. I bring melatonin with me. and I use that when it's an overnight flight. The other thing I do is I bring stuff to make me comfortable. One of the best things I've ever spent money on was I bought a very wide cashmere scarf. I bought it in black so it didn't show grunge. And I keep it in a bag that ABD sent me, like a little soft bag for your dirty clothes. And it's a pillow. If it's cold on the plane, it's a blanket. I've also wrapped it around my eyes and used it as a nightshade. It's a scarf when you're really cold, and I could also use it like a shawl over my shoulders while I sleep. That's something I don't travel any place without, and I think it's just a security thing. But
oh, you also do something with your watch?
Yeah. When you get on the plane, if you're not stopping again until your destination, I always set my watch as soon as I sit down to the time it is where I'm going. So if I'm going to Europe, I'm jumping ahead usually 5 or 6 hours. If I'm going to Hawaii, I set it back 6 hours.
Whatever the local time is.
Whatever the local time is at your destination. I find it easier. I also think it's a mental thing to start living on that time as opposed to landing and finding, oh yeah, it is 6 hours later. I kind of think of that, and I kind of try and schedule my flight that way. So when we leave the U.S. and we're flying to Europe, it's overnight. I usually try and go to sleep based on what time it is, where I'm going.
The other thing, too, is Kevin is very social in all aspects of his life, everywhere we go. So Kevin immediately makes friends with the stewardess, and if the captain walks by, he talks to the captain. I'm looking interiorly of the plane the opposite way whenever they walk past. Don't pay attention to me. Don't look at me. So Kevin passes the time by being friendly with them and asking them where they're from and, you know, talking about our travels with them. So he sort of gets that whole thing of how to do that. I'm more of a pop my butt in a chair, fall asleep, watch a movie, eat, and I'm fine.
I also pay for the in-flight internet.
You do?
I do. Yeah. I check Twitter. I read the disboards. I like watching the news.
What's your Twitter handle? Tell them your Twitter handle.
Kevin L. Close at twitter.com.
No. It's just Kevin L. Close. So if you want to reach Kevin, it's at Kevin L. Close. he's really good about, well, he was going to give you at something.com or something weird. So
that's true, I was.
If you are... Kevin's really good about engaging with people on social media, where I'm not. I'm really bad at it. So if you want to, you know, send him a tweet or something, almost always he'll reply to you or, you know, be involved in you in that way.
I enjoy it.
He does. He really enjoys it.
And I'm going to be honest. I think the folks on my Twitter are awesome. I read other Twitter feeds and things like that, and I think, oh, my God, people are mean. I am so lucky. No one's mean.
Yeah. People are really good.
We have a good time.
It's just fun and fluff, and it's nothing really too serious. But, again, if you want to get in touch with Kevin, it's a great way to sort of connect with him and follow our journeys and stuff, because you never know what weirdness is going to be tweeted out for that. Any other advice for the plane before we move on?
Somebody asked about our luggage, and I'm going to answer that question. I know it wasn't on your list of approved questions.
They're not approved questions. All right, so there are the approved questions.
He asked what our favorite suitcases and carry-ons were, and I have an answer for that. John has a suitcase that he really likes. It's made by Delsey. I bought it on Amazon, and it wasn't expensive. I mean, it's not cheap, but it wasn't expensive compared to expensive luggage. I have a Tumi suitcase. I've always been high on Tumi. I had a Tumi suitcase that was mishandled by baggage handlers, and you have to take it into a Tumi store. You pay $20 to have it shipped back to Tumi. They assess it, and then they sent me an email and a text that I had $1,000 worth of credit to pick out a new suitcase.
If they can't fix it, if they determine they can't fix it, they give you a credit for the value of the suitcase.
And
it works out really well.
It does. It works out really well. And I have a Tumi suitcase that I use for, like, short trips or trips where I know I'm going that has a washer and dryer. I just bought a suitcase in London in October, I bought a Remova trunk. And you pack it, it lays on the bed or the floor or whatever you're going to pack, and it opens like a footlocker or a steamer trunk. And you layer all your clothes into it, and then there's room in the top. I really like that. The main reason I bought that was because it was bright orange. All right. We are both very, very happy right now with our carry-ons. It's at a company called Away, and you can find them at away.com. And I have the aluminum one, and John has the plastic or the black nylon one. They come with a charger in the top that's removable, your phone charger. There's a wet bag built into the base of the suitcase, so if you come home with a wet bathing suit. And we both joke about the fact that you kind of can't let go of them because they move across the airport by themselves. They are the easiest roll-ons I've ever dealt with.
They really are. They're great, great. Not a huge, you know, we've had so many suitcases, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's great. There's another suitcase. This one I'm really impressed with. I'm impressed with, first of all, how light it is.
Yep.
It is so light.
Mine's not.
Yeah, because there's aluminum.
Mine weighs as much as a Volkswagen Beetle.
Empty. Mine is very light. It's easy to carry. It's also very easy to pack. They've done a good job with how they sort of laid out the interior mechanisms.
John and I each have the international carry-on size, which is about an inch and a half smaller than the domestic size. But we do fly internationally, so I figured let's just go with that. The other thing is these suitcases have a lifetime guarantee. That's kind of incredible. If anything happens to it, let us know. We'll give you a new one. I'm not giving you anything.
We don't care what you
mean. I'm giving you advice. If you're interested, go to away.com. I have no affiliation with this. And if it comes time to replace my Tumi suitcase, which is still in good shape, I would get an Away suitcase, a bigger Away suitcase. So that's that.
All right. Moving on to our next question.
All right. Give us your opinion.
Who sent it?
Oh, Mike. Give us your opinion on travel insurance companies. As in, do you think they will jack up prices and take advantage of all of the vacation flights people lost with this pandemic, using fear to get people to buy them? I don't. Yeah. I don't think that's... First of all, the travel industry and travel providers have been really good about dealing with this, and travel insurance isn't covering pandemic.
Right. So, yeah, one of the things that we're finding is you can't just say, listen, I don't want to travel because this coronavirus is out there. You know, that's not a reason to cancel on these policies. However, as Kevin said, like, you know, Walt Disney World and Disneyland and the cruises and all the cruise lines out there have been really good in reacting to folks and refunding money or offering a future, like for cruises, a future cruise credit that exceeds the amount that you've spent already to get you to cruise again. And I want to, one of the things that I think is important is that they really don't have to do that. You know, I know that it's stressful for a lot of people. People are worried about money and all this stuff. You know, the cruise lines can say, listen, here's the deal. This is, quote unquote, an act of God, and we have no responsibility over it, and you've lost your money. But I think everyone is being really reactive and really properly reactive to it. Sometimes it's not as fast as we want, and sometimes it's not as full information as we want. You know, we would like to know, you know, May trips.
Yeah, but we wanted all that information immediately.
Yeah,
and that didn't happen.
Right, it happened. You know, we want it. It's just human nature.
It's still evolving.
But I think they've been really good about it. So I don't know that a lot of people have had to go to their insurance companies for this. However, I will say this. This has taught us a lesson. And the lesson is, when you buy travel insurance, you want to get cancel for any reason coverage. This is a different policy than a standard policy. And what it gives you cancel for any reason. So if you are fearful to travel, you can cancel and then put through a claim for the insurance.
Keep in mind that cancel for any reason does not always mean complete refund. Cancel might mean you can cancel this trip and then have a credit towards future travel.
Right. You want to make sure you understand the policy and what you're going to get. But I still think that the advice we're going to give people going forward is always take the cancel for any reason policy for sure.
The other thing I need to add, and this has come up a lot recently. Travel insurance does not cover the cost of travel insurance.
Yes, that's true.
If you are canceling your trip and you have enough coverage, they will refund all of your money. No one is ever going to refund the cost of the travel insurance that you bought a policy.
That's a premium. That's as if you have a car insurance or a homeowner's insurance.
Right. If you don't have an accident, they don't give you that money back.
Right. So a lot of people will say, well, you know, I paid $800 for insurance. Am I getting my $800 for insurance back? No. That's what you paid to have that coverage. It's a good point. What else are you going to say
about? I still suggest you get it.
Yeah.
However, almost all travel providers offer their own insurance, and your agent can help you find out what that policy looks like. We also always suggest to people, I've been doing this since I've been working with Dreams, that we recommend an insurance site called InsureMyTrip.com. We have no affiliation with this. What this is a clearinghouse for a lot of travel insurance companies. And what they allow you to do is they allow you to compare and contrast what each insurance company is offering at which price. So you can lay five of them across your screen and see what happens. And I mean, the more things you want, if you want that, you're going to be guaranteed to be airlifted off the top of a Swiss Alp by, you know, Swiss helicopters, that's expensive.
If you're those are policies for that, for sure.
Yeah. Right. You're going to decide on what you want. I also would suggest one more thing, is if you have a pre-existing condition that you're looking to cover, almost all travel providers will insist that you purchase travel insurance within 14 days of your original booking in order to cover a pre-existing condition. The travel companies on the InsureMyTrip.com ask the same thing. If you have a pre-existing condition, you need to know going in that you want travel insurance and pay for it within the 14 days.
We ask that you please don't ask your Dreams agent to suggest what type of insurance to get. It's really not.
Or ask an agent to quote what is and isn't covered.
Right.
I can point you in the right direction. I can give you the phone number for the travel insurance company. However, there's a liability involved that if I gave you the wrong information, I will never quote what's involved in an insurance policy.
Right. Don't ask your Dreams agent to advise you on which one to take. Don't ask them to explain what's in the policy. They will point you to where you can find the information and places where there might be a phone number for you to ask questions.
This is one of those things you really need to do on your own.
You can ask questions directly of the provider, but we just want to make sure you understand that. If a Dreams agent says, listen, I can't give you advice on what to get, it's just sort of our policy. It's just travel insurance is a very personal thing, and we want to make sure you do that. But again, I think Kevin's right. I don't believe that travel insurance companies are going to start to gouge people. I think they're going to be happy with the fact that now more people realize the importance of having it.
I think they're hurting at this point, too.
Yeah, probably.
I'm not asking you to feel sorry for an insurance company.
Exactly.
I swear I'm not.
You're doing okay. All right, moving on to our next question. This is from Matthew. How do we get to have you be our travel agent? I don't know if they mean specifically Kevin. Maybe they do.
I think they mean you and I.
Oh.
John doesn't book travel.
I do not. I own the company, and therefore I just sit on my piles of money and chortle at the people who work for me.
Uh-huh.
Now, what, you know, I used to book travel for people and I used to do all of that, but now I've moved into a different role. And I'm going to tell you right now, at this point, you don't want me to be your agent because I don't know what these guys know. My agents know so much of the minutia of planning the trips and booking the trips and pricing and what you should and shouldn't do. I'm just too far removed from that. So you want an agent who's an expert in their destination.
And if you want me as your agent, you have to book an Adventures by Disney trip. I used to do more than that. However, I have built up enough of a business that this is enough to keep me busy. This is my livelihood at this point. And right this minute, my livelihood is on life support. But I handle Adventures by Disney only.
I also want to say, though, Kevin will help you if you are a client of his. For things like cruises.
I do have a couple of cruise clients who are my ABD clients.
Right. But for the most part, if you come to him and say, listen, I want to book a Walt Disney World package, he's going to hand you off to another one of our really great Dreams agents who specialize in Walt Disney World or whatever destination you're looking for.
I handle almost exclusively Adventures by Disney, but if you're an existing client, I will book a cruise. Anything else that comes in, Alani, Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Disneyland Paris, I would put you in touch with an expert that is more well-versed in that than I am at this point.
If you just want an agent and you're interested in someone who is a specialty in a destination, you can write to me, john@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, and I will see what your needs are, and I will put you in touch with another agent who can help you, and I'll take all factors into consideration. But yeah, again, I'm not an agent. Kevin is an agent for specific products. The other thing I want to say too is I know a lot of folks who watch our show watch the Diz, and we've gotten requests, you know, I want Denny to be my agent. Denny is not an agent. She is part of what we call our content team. So she's on the show, or she's writing stories for the Diz, or things like that. So not everybody you see on camera is an agent. Tracy, you know, is TracyH@DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com if you want to work with her. Covered?
I think so.
Covered, done, and done. All right, moving on to our next question. You do it.
Marblehead Disney Dude wants to know, what is your favorite Disney movie of all time?
Wow.
Star Wars doesn't count.
Why doesn't Star Wars count?
Because I said so.
Oh my gosh. All right, then Mary Poppins doesn't count.
Then I'm done.
Let me think about it for a minute. Is yours really Mary Poppins?
My favorite non-animated movie, although there is animation movie in it, is Mary Poppins. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot, not only do I love the movie, there is a lot of, I don't know if nostalgia is the right word. I remember going, my grandmother taking me to see it at the Palace Theater in Albany, New York. And I remember that we had to buy tickets for it, like if you were going to see a Broadway play. I think that has a lot to do with it. Plus it has Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke in it, and how can you go wrong with that? And I think my favorite animated movie is The Little Mermaid. I think that came out at a time when there hadn't been a lot of animated Disney movies. I mean, not since I was young, and I had seen the classics. And this got me excited about Disney animation again.
There was a period of time where what was coming out of Disney Studios are not considered the best movies they've ever made.
Right.
And then The Little Mermaid kind of revitalized.
It also watched like you were watching a Broadway show. The score is just incredible. Jodie Benson is just incredible. So I think that, no puns intended, reanimated my excitement about Disney animated movies.
I agree. Little Mermaid is definitely one of my favorites, definitely at the top. And for the same reason, it was kind of like, you know, you watched it and you thought, wow, this is possible. You know, it was animation that kind of reinvented animation at the time.
It had a story. It had a score. It was emotionally involving.
Right. I think, though, my favorite still, and I know a lot of people don't agree with me, my favorite is still Lilo and Stitch.
I could have answered that question for you.
It still is. There's something about Stitch that just speaks to me. And I think that that's why I like that movie so much. I also like the fact that the people in it, the animated humans in it, are more realistic than typical humans in any animated Disney film since then. You know, they're all stick figures and they're all, you know, have impossible body styles, where in Lilo and Stitch, there are people who I think more accurately reflected what human people are like, what people are like in real life. But yeah, I loved it. I think Lilo and Stitch is one of the best ones out there for sure. And I think that also came at a time too where it did sort of, for me, switch up, because we were going to a lot of computer animation, where the computer animated films, and don't get me wrong, they're great and I love them, but that seemed to be like all that Disney was putting out.
That also took you out of the fairy tale realm.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's got a, you know, fantasy element to it, but it was less, you know, princess, prince type of thing. So
it's also, the colors in that movie are spectacular.
And
it's got one of my favorite Disney songs of all time.
Hawaiian Roller Coaster.
Hawaiian Roller Coaster ride.
I know that. And then along the same lines, I think that I have the same affinity for Moana. I think Moana is a great, great Disney movie. Surprisingly good Disney movie.
I didn't watch it for like a year and a half, and I watched it on a plane, and I kept saying, on my way to Hawaii, and I kept saying to John, this is so good. And he kept saying, you are so late to the party.
You are so late. Yeah, I loved Moana. So yeah, I think with Disney animation and Disney films in general, it's really hard to pick, because someone will say something and I'll go, oh yeah, I love that. Oh yeah, I love that too. Agreed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Disney movies, you can find someone who's going to tell you that everyone is good, and I don't think ours are unique.
Right.
I don't think we've gone, you know, delved into the depths of the vault.
Certainly not Rescuers Down Under.
Right. One of the people on our team loves the Fox and the Hound.
Yeah.
That's for you, Julie.
Yeah,
Julie. So that's the one I think is a little more obscure, but mine are pretty.
I think what's really great, too, is now that Disney Plus is out with all of those classic animated movies, or a lot of them, a lot of the classic animated movies, is that people are getting a chance to revisit them, and in some cases, kids are getting a chance to see them for the first time. So I think that's really great. All right, we're going to close out the show with one more question, and that is from Brittany. And Brittany says, tell us about your dogs. Well, not exactly a travel-related question there, is it, Brittany?
I told them they could ask anything.
Right. So she didn't follow the rules.
Wait until you hear the questions that John didn't approve.
That's true. There are quite a bit I did not approve. All right. Tell them about our dogs.
We have two dogs. We have Samson. Samson is a mixed breed. He is half Pomeranian and half dog most people have never heard of. He's half Catone de Tulier. Yep. I swear that's true. And Sophie... Sam came from a pet store, and Sophie came from a private breeder who had to move out of was moving out of the country, and I'm told she is a Yorkie. I don't believe that's true. I believe Sophie is a silky terrier.
Based on her coloring and the way her hair falls and her ears, she definitely feels more like a silky to me.
Sophie is about 8 pounds. She is Xena Warrior Princess when it's just John and I. She rules the house. She does not like another living soul. She actually likes Kathleen.
She does. She loves Kathleen. I would pick them up now and show them to you on camera. Unfortunately, what would happen is they would hit our mics and it would be a mess and they would pull stuff apart. So
we can post pictures.
Oh, yeah, I'll put some pictures in so that you guys can see what they look like.
Sophie is a homebody. She does not want anybody else in. If someone comes to the door, Sophie calls child services and reports us. She does not make friends easy. She is not warm and loving. She stands on the other side of the room and screams at you until you leave. Sam, on the other hand, Sam wants to tell you the ATM PIN number. Let me show you where they keep their money. Come on in and sit down. I don't care if you're a stranger. I want to be your best friend. He just loves everybody.
He does. He's just very, very friendly and wants to be part of it and wants to lick you and be a part of it. Tell them how we got Sam.
We had two dogs when John and I were together earlier. We had Tinker, who was my dog when I met John. And a couple of years later, we adopted Rain. And Tinker...
This is going back much further than I thought you were going to go.
Tinker was a gentleman dog, and Rain was just a love bug. Rain passed away. And... Tinker had grown up with another dog in the house. So I said to John, we have to get another dog. Tinker's...
For the dog. We have to get another dog for the dog.
So I had very...
As you do.
Tinker was old. He had lost his sight. And he was losing his hearing. So I said to John, we have to get another dog. But I have to be able to control... its size. So I went to the Humane Society, and unfortunately in Central Florida, mostly everything at the Humane Society is a very large pit bull that people no longer want. So I said, John, I can't. Tinker's a 12 and a half year old dog who's blind and deaf. I can't put a pit bull in the house with him. So we I said, John, let's go to, there's a pet store we like here in Orlando. That's where Tinker came from, and I had great luck with them. So I said, let's go back there and look. And John had 1,001 reasons why this was a bad idea.
Well, first of all, it was a Sunday, and Kevin goes, let's just go look. You know we're not going to just go look.
So John explained to me that the next day there was a dentist appointment, and that 3 weeks from now we were going to travel, and that we didn't, it's a Sunday, so we couldn't have a vet visit. John had a vast amount of reasons.
All very valid.
All very valid. So we went
to
the...
We're not buying a dog, Kevin. Kevin, I don't care what happens, we're going to go to this place, and we're not buying a dog.
This is about 30 minutes from where we live, and he ranted and raved, I'm not buying a dog, I'm not buying a dog, I'm not buying a dog. I said, okay, all right, we're just going to go look. And I had my heart set on a Yorkie. I've always wanted a Yorkie.
Until we got Sophie.
So we got...
And changed our lives.
So we got to the pet store, and in the kennel... There were two small dogs. One was sort of beige and one was kind of white. Come to find out, they were brother and sister. And then there was a third dog in the kennel. So while we were there, the guy reached in and poured food into the bowl. And Sam, who wasn't Sam at the time, went over and sat in the bowl and then put his head between his legs and ate. And I thought, oh, he's our dog. So at this particular pet store, they have these little half rooms. It's four walls with a little door, but, I mean, it comes to just above your waist. So you can go in and have the dog out and watch the dog move around and interact with the dog without fear of them running around the store. And the people that work there are dressed like they're running Kilimanjaro Safari. There's a very African animal kingdom theme.
The Daktari hats and the green.
So we were sitting in there, and Sam was tiny. I have posted a couple of times. So I put Sam next to an actual Snapple bottle, and he and the Snapple bottle are the same size. So we're sitting there playing with it, and we knew how much the dog cost. And John kept looking at me and looking up at the ceiling and looking at me and looking at the dog. And he kept saying to me, this is really kind of not the right time to do this. There's a dentist appointment tomorrow. And
the dog was ridiculously expensive. Let's just say that.
He was. So we were sitting there, and I think this lady worked for the pet store. She comes over and looks over into our little space there, and she says to the guy, the employee, I'd like to see that dog when they're done. And all of a sudden, John's entire demeanor changed. So what's America's... They are not getting my dog.
I think my exact words are, she ain't getting my dog.
And I thought, well...
Back off.
So much for the dentist appointment. So much for not being able to take him to the vet today. Samson came home with us. And we had gone in two cars. Did we? No, didn't go in two cars. So Sam came home with us that day. Yeah. They told us he was going to be 6 or 7 pounds. And he is 16. However, he thinks John... is God. He follows John around. He looks at John like, oh my God, I worship you. He lays in John's lap all night. He wants to sleep next to John. He is attached to John, who wasn't going to buy him.
He wasn't going to get him. You know, the thing too is I always grew up with, you got the dog from like someone was giving away puppies at the supermarket. I never bought a dog in our lives. I never knew what that was like. And it was like, we're going to go buy a dog? That's crazy, but...
Shortly after getting Sam, Tinker passed. Tinker's health issues just got the best of him. He was 14. So I said to John, we had this conversation once before. These dogs have been together for a couple of years now. We can't go down to one dog. We need another dog. They need companionship. But I was hard-pressed that I was going to get a Yorkie. And I called the same pet store where we got Sam, and I asked about the price of a Yorkie, and they said something that shocked me. And I thought, wow, I can't afford that. So I went through the want ads. They're online now, but I went through the want ads, and I found a lady who lives about 40 minutes from us, and she explained in her little ad that she had the mother and her mother had the father of the two, and they were moving back to Puerto Rico, so she had one left, and it was a female, and I tend to love female dogs. So we drove out and we decided, she offered to let us come to her house, and I thought, we're going to scare the daylights out of her. It's like the two giants come to your front door. I said, would you feel more comfortable if we met in a public park or a public space so you're in public? So she agreed to that. Well, the park we met in, now I've never met this woman, I've heard her voice, was having a food festival, and there had to be 6,000 people in this park.
We thought, oh, it'll be a quiet location. We'll get to meet the dog. We'll just
let the dog run around.
We'll sit and have a nice little conversation and get to know. It was loud and crazy and
frantic. It took us about 2 hours. And I said to John, look for someone carrying a puppy. So we finally got Sophie, and we brought her home. And I have always prided myself on being able to make friends with the dog. I think I'm really good with animals. I have a friend, John and I have a friend who's a vet, and I called her up and I said, Heather, I don't know what to do. This dog doesn't like me. And she said, what do you mean? I said, she just won't come near me. She doesn't like me. She said, how old is she? I said, she's about 4 months old. She wasn't a newborn puppy. She goes, huh. So this went on a couple days, and I said, Heather, this dog, I can't make friends with it. I'm trying. I'm doing everything I know how to do to make her dog friendly. And she explained to me that, you know, sometimes dogs and people are not a perfect match. And I thought, oh, I'm not giving up that easy. So she said, if you need you need help finding a home for Sophie, I will help you. I said, okay. So we were working at it and working at it, and Sophie became more and more friendly. And someone said to me one day, you said she came from a house from some folks who were moving back to Puerto Rico. I said, she was. She said, did they speak Spanish? I said, they did. They did. As a matter of fact, when I first spoke to her, she asked me if I spoke Spanish because that was easier for her. She goes, when you brought Sophie home, she didn't speak English.
That's true.
And all of a sudden, it was like this light bulb went off. I took a dog out of a Spanish-speaking home and put it into a home where the only Spanish John and I know is what comes from Tijuana Flats.
Exactly.
And Sophie didn't want to talk about tacos and burritos.
She was over us. So Sophie has now been integrated into the family, and talk about, he said, Sam is my dog. Sophie is his dog. Sophie loves him and sleeps
in
his lap.
They've attached to each one of us has attached to the other. And it just works out okay. They are both sitting about 6 feet away, and they're looking at us like, stop doing that.
All right, what are you doing?
Go sit in the chair so I can hug you.
And they are loving the fact that we are self-isolating and quarantining and not
No one's coming to the door.
Right? We're not leaving and going out and going places. All right. We hope we get a little glimpse into Sophie and Samson.
And we'll post some pictures with us.
Definitely will. All right. That'll do it for this episode. We thank everybody at home for listening and watching. We want to make sure you have a great week. We want to make sure you stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm going to say one more thing that you just finished up. John and I are both on Twitter. I'll answer you. So if you're feeling isolated,
excellent.
Tweet me.
I'll answer you too. Yeah, every once in a while I do. Yeah, not always.
Email us. Tweet us. You can find us.
Yeah.
John is more on Instagram more than I do, mm-hmm. mostly because I don't know how to do it. But if you're feeling isolated and looking for a friend, come find us on Twitter. We're there.
Kevin L. Close or John Magi, easy enough. Both Instagram and Twitter are the same, so look for us there. Again, that'll do it. Thank you again for listening and watching. We hope you have a great week. And again, everybody, stay healthy and stay safe.
I have one more thing.
I'm going to go,
young. No, not really.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.